This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I am John Hansen from FantasyPoints.com. The program, as always, is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. A big program forthcoming, per usual. We'll try and get through hump day. It's the worst day of the week, but at least we have wide receiver corner matchups to take a look at in terms of all the data points and the like. How many fantasy points will Emmanuel Forbes, the former number one pick of the DC Commanders, give up against Jackson Smith and Jigba tomorrow night? We'll talk about it. We'll check in with our guy Brent Whitefield of fantasypoints.com. Data plus film plus some serious football acumen per usual. We'll also take a look at the week 16 game totals, 16 games in week 16, and got to rank them 1 to 16 in terms of the totals. And of course, there's a lot to be said for these totals, and we'll talk about what they likely mean. Usually good news for some people with a high total and bad news for some people with a low total. The program, as always, is brought to you by Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where you turn your sports knowledge into cold hard cash very fast. Sign up today and get a free $10, no deposit necessary. And also, make sure you download the Prop Points podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your pods. And oh, by the way, we will pop out at the very end of the program a best bet for Thursday night football. I will probably curse myself by bringing it up, but we're doing really well in these early best bet calls. So stay tuned for that at the end of the program. I looked hard and long at all the options, and it's not great, but I do have one that I like, and I'm sure I'll find, you know, three or four more like maybe the Jackson Smith and Jigba prop that I'm looking at right now that we're going to get to on the other side. But it is time to take a look at the news and the notes coming down the line here. We often certainly get the first word on injuries on a Wednesday, and we also get the first word on player benchings. And in Miami, wow, they have benched Tua Tagovailoa. Quinn Ewers will make his starting debut Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals, and that's not good for pretty much all the receivers. It throws a serious monkey wrench into, you know, like the Mike Gesicki plan up against the Cincinnati Bengals, the best matchup in the land. I'd be definitely worried about it as it relates to Waller and, of course, Jalen Waddle. Not that we're using anyone else in the passing attack, and certainly, you know, they'll load up and focus on stopping Devon Achane in this environment, but I don't think it matters. Achane, the schematics of the matchup, we talked about that on yesterday's show, really, really, really good. So I think we should have some confidence in Mike McDaniel. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to call plays and design plays and all that. So he'll figure it out with Devon Achane, probably get him the ball and some design screens and things like that to, you know, get him the ball in the passing attack a little bit, be a little less predictable. But I'm still rolling with Devon Achane, but I'm probably not rolling with Jalen Waddle, who, by the way, is on our list. In fact, no, cross it off. I might even take the under, but it's kind of dropped. We won an under on Monday night with Jalen Waddle. I think it was 66.5 yards. I mean, that was an easy win. The number is down over 10 yards. I still may take the under, by the way, because, well, not to give away the farm here on the next segment, but he will see a lot of DJ Turner. And I know Zay Flowers almost got the over, but he did score in that big play on the left side. That was not on DJ Turner. That was like a zone situation. I believe the near touchdown also wasn't necessarily on DJ Turner. But obviously the big question is who's going to be quarterbacking the Miami Dolphins next year. It doesn't seem like it's going to be Tua Tagovailoa. I think he'll probably end up in Vegas. I mean, I always go to Vegas. I'd always the Raiders. Anybody's looking for a quarterback? Oh, the Raiders. When was the last time they drafted a good quarterback? I'm thinking. It's been a while. Same as my Minnesota Vikings, although maybe they figured that out with J.J. McCarthy. But moving on, the big story for the Atlanta Falcons is that Drake London did practice today. So obviously we would expect him back. And oh, by the way, for yours truly, not to make it about my teams, but I need Drake London to play this week. Why? Because in the Fantasy Points Dynasty League, I did emerge in the playoffs. So only four teams make it out of 12. And my quarterbacks all year have been Daniel Jones and Patrick Mahomes. And there is absolute garbage on the waiver wire. So I didn't back him up. I figure, Mahomes never gets hurt. So your boy's rolling with Kirky. It's either him or Phil. So that's what we're down to. And thank God that Kirk Cousins will, in fact, have Drake London once again, who did practice on Wednesday. I have not yet done rankings and the like. I have started my search, though, at all the schematics. And it's not a bad matchup at all up against the Arizona Cardinals on the outside. They don't have anyone per se to really match up very well with Drake London. So that's good. Kirk Cousins playing pretty well. Got to give it up to him. So maybe Kirky can get me like, I'll take 230/2. I'll take that all day long, as long as we don't throw an interception. Dolphins also released edge Matthew Judon, and the Patriots are calling in 3-2-1. Unless there's something going on with Judon that I don't know about, I would add him. If I'm a playoff bound team, I haven't followed him all that much. I do know that Aaron Rodgers mentioned him by name pre-snap the other night. He was like, "Hey, watch out for Judon." So he's out there. So there must be something going on. I mean, he must be sick of losing. But yeah, if I'm New England, I'm on the horn to see about Mr. Matthew Judon. I know he's past his prime, but that guy was a badass a couple of years ago for the New England Patriots. The Jets have signed Jeremy Ruckert to a new two-year contract extension. That's not great as it relates to Mason Taylor. Ruckert is a decent receiver there out of Ohio State. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur said that Christian Watson is expected to practice on Wednesday. And that is big, obviously, because it really did feel like the wind was taken out of their sails once Watson got injured and left that game, because Jordan Love was rolling. Once again, just dropping dimes left and right against that man coverage. And then things kind of unraveled, it seems, once they got lost Watson. So that's good news for Green Bay. Not the greatest news for their other receivers, but you know, for Jordan Love, that's a little bit of a game changer. Because already this morning, I did a live stream. I told a couple of people, I'm going to start Brock Purdy over Jordan Love this week and Jacoby Brissett over Jordan Love this week. If Watson's in, that does change the equation just a little bit. Also, our guy, friend of the program, Adam Schefter for ESPN, reporting that Commanders running back Chris Rodriguez will be a game time decision against the Giants in week 15. That is unfortunate because, you know, actually, no, that's not the Giants. Who are they playing this week? That is incorrect. The Vikings are playing the Giants, but the DC Commanders, I'll find them. There we are. Oh, that's right. The Philly. They're playing Philly. That's not the best matchup, although we shall see about Jalen Carter. We do have those Saturday games, by the way, a couple of them. We've got the Eagles Commanders at 5 p.m. and then the aforementioned Packers with Jordan Love and perhaps Christian Watson up against the Bears. Pretty big game there on both sides. I think Green Bay is going to emerge victorious. We also have, how about this? This is pretty big. Marvin Harrison will practice on Wednesday. That is phenomenal news for Jacoby Brissett. I was a little hesitant to back Jacoby Brissett last week based on the matchup, and he did it again. Even without Marvin Harrison, Trey McBride was incredible in that game. So good news. The cavalry is on the way, it seems, for the Cardinals and with Marvin Harrison. One note here on Patrick Mahomes, by the way. Our guy Schefter, once again, I saw this yesterday, he did opine, I guess, not really a report, but he did opine because Mahomes already did the surgery. It's already done. And he's already rehabbing. I mean, this is crazy. So Schefter opined yesterday that he does think that there's an excellent chance that Patty Mahomes doesn't miss a beat. I mean, he's going to miss week 16, 17, and 18. But it looks like based on the timing of the surgery, we are within that, 9-month window there to be ready for week number one. I would absolutely not put it past Mahomes to blow out the knee in week 15 and then play week one the coming year. So we shall see about that. But we are stuck with the Gardner. And that is not good. I'm not going to downgrade Rashee Rice tremendously, nor will I downgrade Kelce tremendously because their guys are going to do the work in the middle of the field underneath and all that. But forget about Xavier Worthy and anybody else there for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk wide receiver corner matchups on the other side. But first, if you think you know sports, it is time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks, the daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. You just download the Better app. You pick more or less in your favorite player stats. And when your pick hits, you win. Right now, new users still get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. When you do deposit, you'll get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Year-round action every day of the year, so there's always a lineup to build and always a chance to win. Getting started is easy. Head to better.app, that's B-E-T-R, or download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Don't forget to pop in the promo code VEASAN to claim your free buck, $10, and your deposit bonus. Better Picks, if you know sports, it's time to prove it.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, fantasypoints.com. And thanks to fantasypoints.com, we've got an excellent tool that you can also access on the VSiN website if you have a pro subscription and all that good stuff. But we've got the beloved wide receiver corner matchup tool, and it uses all the alignment numbers, lines it all up, takes in all the data, fantasy points per route run, compares it over, you know, to the corner he'll likely see. We've got that data, the fantasy points per route run given up. We also have route participation for the receivers and also targets. You want to start a receiver, for example, against a corner who gets targeted a lot. And I look at all these data points as I put together this list, because there's always, you know, a lot of good options, but we start on a positive note per usual. And we will start with Juwan Jennings Monday night up against the Indianapolis Colts and Jonathan Edwards. Not a player that we know a lot about. Obviously, Sauce Gardner is out, but we do know that he's given up 0.35 fantasy points per route run, which is a big number. Good matchup. And that's a great matchup overall for Brock Purdy because they don't rush the passer really. And Purdy's been pretty damn good here. So I've been liking Juwan Jennings. And look, I was a full Ricky Pearsall guy this summer, and I still am pro Ricky. I love Ricky. But, you know, I did notice about 3-4 weeks ago, hey, it's not happening with Ricky. And Juwan Jennings is good. That's indisputable. Inside, outside guy. And now he's finally healthy. So he's looking good. This is a nice asset here down the stretch. Dude scores every week, basically. Next up, Jackson Smith in Jigba. He'll see a lot of, oh, by the way, I didn't find a prop on Jennings, but I will say the anytime touchdown was plus 145, which is not that great for a guy like Juwan Jennings, which tells me like it's a good matchup. Next up, Jackson Smith and Jigba versus Emmanuel Forbes, the former number one pick of the DC Commanders, who was a bust, and he's hanging in there, but still giving up a very healthy 0.34 fantasy points per route run. The Rams have generally been a little vulnerable on the outside, dating back to last year. This year, it's a little bit more vulnerable inside, but it's a great matchup. And the number, I'm considering it. I'm going to do some more research. We'll find out tomorrow. But 89.5 is what I found on FanDuel. It's not bad. At minus 114. I played one JSN prop on a nationally televised game this year, and I remember we lost it by like 2 yards. And it was a big number, too. And he was quiet the whole game. I'm like, wow, there's a loss at halftime. And then, he made a couple big plays. So he'll be very close to this number. That is for sure. Next up here, we've got Khalil Shakir up against Miles Harden, who has given up 0.32 fantasy points per route run. We saw a little bit more for the other receiver. I mean, Keon Coleman actually made a play last week, but not the best matchup there on the outside up against Cleveland. They're a little bit more vulnerable inside. So that's why we're popping it out here. The prop on Khalil Shakir's, I mean, he's kind of stuck in this range where it's got to be over 45, but it can't be over 55. So we're 47.5 is the number that I found. I'm not exactly sure where that was, but it's doable, absolutely doable. And then last but not least on the good corner, well, we got a couple more here. Terry McLaurin up against Adoree Jackson. That is the matchup based on the schematics. Now, could they move Quinyon Mitchell over? Absolutely. Could they travel Quinyon Mitchell? Yes. But I don't think they will, at least initially. They're just kind of playing their sides at this juncture. And Terry McLaurin, kind of a must play with Marcus Mariota, especially next week. They've got Dallas next week. I mean, I've been envisioning 100 yards for McLaurin in week 17 for like 2 months. I know I'm a sicko, but that's a guy did say about a month ago, trade for him on the cheap. No one cares about Terry McLaurin a month ago. I'm like, dude's going to get back on the field at some point. Look at these matchups. And so far, so good. Next up, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I know we will be talking Sun God with our guy, Brett Whitefield, on the other side, but I said last week was an Amon-Ra St. Brown game, big time, and it was. And this week, well, it was a JMO game last week, but this week is a big time, I believe, Amon-Ra St. Brown game up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He'll see a lot of Brandon Echols, who's given up a pretty healthy number here, 0.29 fantasy points per route run. The number is 78.5. It's not bad. I know it's a bigger number, but Amon-Ra is a bigger football influence on his team than others and most, basically. And this will be an Amon-Ra St. Brown game. I also, as a bonus, added a couple of names here. I do believe it'll be a Devontae Smith game for the Eagles, but I do like this AJ Brown up against Antonio Hamilton. Cortland Sutton, another good game. I didn't like him last week. I was dead wrong on that one. Up against Greg Newsome. And then DK Metcalf, who is back among the living, and he'll see a lot of Rocky Sin. By the way, highest total on the board, Steelers at Lions, 51.5. Now let's go to the negative Nellies, and we've got a bunch of them here. We'll start with BTJ, who is, hey, better late than never. Same with JJ McCarthy. I mean, you killed us, but better late than never. However, not this week. He'll see a lot of Pat Surtain. In fact, shadow coverage by Surtain, and the number is 45.5, which is pretty low considering what BTJ has been doing, but it's a reflection of this bad matchup. George Pickens, remember him? He's been MIA 2 weeks now. He'll see a lot of Dante Jackson, former, I believe, second-round pick of the Panthers, who's balling for the Chargers, and giving up 0.15 fantasy points per route run. That is why George's number is way down here at 58.5. And then we go to Jalen Waddle up against DJ Turner, a.k.a. the Eraser. He's out there erasing dudes on the regular on the outside this year. Didn't totally erase Zay Flowers last week, but I didn't see Zay Flowers do much against specifically Turner. And we are projecting shadow coverage on Waddle by Turner. That's not good. Waddle's number is, like I said earlier, we won an under on it last couple of nights ago. It was like 66.5. We're way down here to 55.4. And of course, we have Quinn Ewers starting at quarterback over the benched Tua Tagovailoa. Next is J-Mo Williams. He will see a lot of Mr. Joey Porter based on the alignment. Probably not going to be a shadow situation, but Joey Porter is balling 0.14 fantasy points per route run. J-Mo's number is pretty big, 66.5 over there. I believe that was a DK situation at minus 114, but a scarier matchup. I think, to interject a personal thought here, I think it's all Amon-Ra, not all, but you know what I mean? Big time Amon-Ra game, you know, like a 12 target game where he catches like eight balls for like 110. And then I think they're going to run all over their asses, quite frankly, coming off a loss, especially in Detroit. Oh yeah. They're running for $125, I do believe. Also, Deebo Samuel, we are this close away in the VSiN betting guide. I this summer popped out a list of season long futures, and we're doing very well. We're going to go like 68% on these puppies, and we are, I think it's like 40 yards from getting the. I like Deebo this summer. That's why he was in the guide. But I've bailed. It's over. He'll see a lot of Cooper DeJean this week as well, so I can't do it. Who's giving up just 0.19 fantasy points per route run. Deebo's prop, by the way, is 46.5. Three other matchups that are a little scary that I'll pop out here real quick. Jacoby Myers. Now, he's not going to get the Sertan treatment, but and Myers has been awesome. But, you know, Riley Moss is pretty good. And he's only given up 0.25 fantasy points per route run. Tet McMillan, based on the alignment numbers, going to see a lot of Jamel Dean, who's good, and giving up just 0.14 fantasy points per route run. And then finally, CeeDee Lamb, going to see a lot of Tarheeb Still, who is still good, giving up just 0.19 fantasy points per route run. So there's the look at the notable wide receiver corner matchups. We'll chop it up with our guy Brent Whitefield on the other side and see what he has cooking for week 16. But first, want to bet smarter this holiday season? VSiN has the perfect gift for you or the sports bettor in your life. Right now, you can take advantage of our holiday special. Get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. Daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests. Real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. AI-powered prop tools and weekly wide receiver corner matchup edges. 24/7 video and more. Complete coverage of every major sport through the spring, from football and hoops to March Madness, the NFL Draft, and the Masters. Plus all the postseason betting guides and expert picks, including the college football playoffs. Head on over to vsin.com/subscribe and get the holiday special today.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, going directly to the Progressive Guest Line to bring in our guy, Brett Whitefield of fantasypoints.com. He is on the X machine at BG Whitefield. He comes loaded with lion over props. What is up, Brett? How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm going to be a little bit of a homer today, though, and we're going to talk about some Lions props here. So, yeah.
Before we get into that, I don't want to throw you off here, but are you, as a Lion backer, are you worried about JJ McCarthy next week, baby? Because I think I would be if I were a Lions fan.
Hey, McCarthy's playing pretty good ball the last 3 weeks. He's really heated up, and hey, he beat him early in the year too. Some of that was special teams related. I think in that game, McCarthy had six scoring drives of 30 yards or less, but that's why you play all three phases, man. Yeah, I'm definitely worried about it.
Yeah. I honestly, full disclosure, I'm rooting for the Lions here. I mean, it would be such a buzzkill if they didn't make the playoffs. I mean, come on, football guys. Throw the dude a bone. But they can take care of business this week in Detroit up against Pittsburgh. And you were talking about that sieve-like run defense last week. Now, they kind of, I'm sure they devoted resources to slowing down Devon Achane, which they did, but they didn't. You know, I mean, he still ran all over their asses. I kind of like the running backs. But you go to the passing game, and let's talk about Jared Goff. Let's start there. What do you see there?
Yeah, well, since the Lions have been in this back against the wall kind of situation for like a month now, and Goff's just been on fire. He's handled this well, even in the losses. I mean, he hung 34 points on the Rams, the best defense in the NFL last week, right? So just thinking this one out, I do think the Lions should be able to run the ball here, but this is a home game. The Lions, typically their pass rate goes up a little bit more at home. And, you know, we're Chris Wecht over at the site is projecting Goff for like 287. So the books are way under that. I see the math. Jared Goff is a single high killer. He's a cover three killer.
Yeah.
He's been great against man coverage this year. Pittsburgh's going to play a lot of single high, like 56%. They're going to live in that cover one, cover three combo there. And those are the two coverages Jared Goff just eviscerates. So 259.5 feels comfortable in a have to have it game for Detroit. We also know that Dan likes to kind of throw a little bit of oomph at these games where he doesn't want to beat you by seven. This dude wants to come for your head. And I think they'll still pass late into the fourth quarter, even with a lead here. You know, you talk about the two receivers, Amon-Ra and J-Mo. Amon-Ra is just so safe. The dude does it every single week. Yeah. Doesn't matter what the defense does. And the Steelers don't have a way to take him away. J-Mo, you know, his line is only 66.5. If you look at his game since Dan Campbell's taken over the play call, he's averaging like 98 yards a game. He's quietly sitting at, he's 10th in the league in receiving yards and 10th in the league in receiving touchdowns. And it feels like he's had a disappointing year, which is kind of funny. But he's a single high killer too. In the last five games, he's averaging 5 yards per route run against single high coverage. So, I mean, he's crushing it.
By the way, not to, again, throw you for a loop, but are the Steelers going to move the ball in this matchup? I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah, the Steelers' offense looks, it's so inconsistent. It's kind of mind-blowing. You know, the Rodgers experiment, it's working in some regards, but they just can't push the ball downfield at all. If Metcalf doesn't, you know, get a long catch and run in there, they have no explosive plays in the pass game. However, I don't trust the Lions defense right now. They're down Brian Branch. They're down Kirby Joseph. They're down Aaron Arnold in the secondary. They're down some backups too. So they're going to be starting third string guys again. The pressure situation, the defensive line just hasn't really, you know, generated consistent pressure. They've had games where they'll rack up six sacks and a 40% pressure rate, but they've also had games where they get no pressure on the quarterback. And if you can double and triple Hutch, that kind of takes away their best asset. And so, yeah, it's tough to trust the Steelers offense, but I definitely don't trust the Steelers or the Lions defense. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Branch is like Spider-Man out there. I mean, it feels like he's kind of like the glue that kind of holds the whole secondary together in many ways. We're chopping it up with Brett Whitefield, COO over at Fantasy Points on the X Machine at BG Whitefield. Well, good news today for Marvin Harrison, who is expected to be on the practice field. He may be on there right now. Maybe he's warming up, stretching, but we are trending toward a return, which is massive for Jacoby Brissett. And I feel bad for, I told a couple people to start Mariota over Brissett last week. Now, Mariota wasn't that bad, but Brissett did it again up against Houston. And now we're against the Falcons, and we're likely going to get Marvin Harrison back. So what do you see with Jacoby?
I love Jacoby this matchup. I mean, Atlanta plays more single high than anyone in the league. Jacoby kills single high. He has this year. It's a really good proposition. We're projecting Jacoby Brissett for 276 passing yards, number two on the slate as far as that goes. The line here at 238.5, just, I mean, that's a 38-yard gap between where we're projecting him and what the books have him. Those are usually really safe bets for us because our projections guy, Chris Wecht, is phenomenal. But the schematic matchup I really like, and Michael Wilson specifically, even if Marv's back, I talked about Jameson Williams being a single high killer. Well, Michael Wilson also, last five games, since really this breakout started for him, over 3 yards per route run against single high, over 3 yards per route run against man coverage. He's going to see a little bit of both in this game, or I should say a lot bit of both in this game. So I think he's really safe. The breakout looks fun, man. The way they're using him, moving him all over the place, a lot of catch and run stuff. He is getting some downfield targets as well. It's kind of like a Puka Nacua light role that he's had since this breakout started. And it's, you know, the line here at 66.5 is really safe.
I remember, I believe that was the first Senior Bowl I went to with you and Chris Wecht, and you guys liked Wilson. And I watched him like, yeah, this guy's smooth. He kind of looks like a number one receiver. kind of in a lot of ways on the outside there. Of course, we forgot about him for a couple of years. Thanks for nothing, Kyler. But yeah, it's unbelievable. Let's move on. James Cook, he's still cooking and keying Buffalo Bills victories up against the Cleveland Browns. Their run defense has fallen off a cliff. What do you see there?
Yeah, just that. The Cleveland run defense has fallen off a cliff. Some of this is Malik Collins being out for the remainder of the season really hurts them. He's a monster inside. But also, you just kind of starting to get the vibe that Cleveland's a little checked out. Another losing season for them where they're going to be picking really high in the draft. It's unfortunate, but I here's the thing about Buffalo. They've run the ball against everybody, even good run defenses. James Cook is awesome. Yeah. Their offensive line is really good. And the thing I love about Buffalo is they are not shy about sticking with it, even when it doesn't start good. You know, yeah. Cook might have 10 carries for 30 yards in the first half, and they will stick with that run game. And he eventually is going to break loose for a couple big ones. This is yet another one, too, where, like, I saw this line, immediately jumped on it, talked to Chris Wecht about it, and Chris is projecting Cook for near 100 rushing yards in this game. So it's another one where I feel really safe because Chris's analysis and my analysis are merging here. So feel really good about that one.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't run it with Ty Johnson more than a couple of times. And our guy Ray Davis barely gets any run there. It's all Cook. In that same game, I thought I'd win a Quinshon Judkins receiving prop. It was like 7.5 yards. Dude got 3 catches, didn't get the prop. So he's kind of struggling up and down. Seems like a crappy bad weather quarterback for what it's worth, but this is something because we've been winning left and right for months, literally on overs against the Buffalo Bills, yet we're going under here on Judkins.
Yeah, I am. And part of this is game script, right? So, like, I think Buffalo's going to win this game and win this game by a lot. And so I think eventually, you know, right, Cleveland's going to be in a game script where they just can't run the ball anymore. We've seen this, you know, in other Cleveland games as well. But also, like, they're so bad running the football. I think they might make Buffalo's run defense look good. Since week 4, Quinshon Judkins averaging 3.2 yards per carry, which is the only guy worse than that is Alvin Kamara, who hasn't played probably since about week 4. he's got the worst success rate and stuff rate in the NFL. Like, they legit cannot run the football. It's painful to watch, John. I think Buffalo has a pretty easy time, you know, between game script and just in dealing with that Cleveland offensive line, which is terrible. I think this is a pretty good on. I've been really good on unders this year too. The only one I've missed was last week was CMC versus Tennessee, and he hit the over on his last carry of the game. So I'm almost
undefeated. I hate that. Yeah, well, I'm Mr. Under over here, 25-6, I believe, on unders in November. But finally, Chris Godwin, over 33.5. I'm sure part of that is avoiding J.C. Horn and the other outstanding corner outside.
Yeah, avoiding J.C. Horn, but also Carolina's a sieve in the slot. They're giving up 11 yards per attempt to slot targets. Chris Godwin's kind of been a little slow going, coming back, but he is at least averaging 6 targets a game in his return. I think even with a 6-target load here, he should easily clear 33.5. He'll hit one explosive in there. I also think Godwin looks good. Like, he's passing the eye test to me.
I totally see that. That's a good one. 33. That's a really, really good one there from Brett Whitefield. We'll follow you on the extra chain at BG Whitefield. Happy holidays, Brett. Great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next time out. And when we return, let's take a look at the totals for week 16 from top to bottom. See what the numbers mean.
Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final segment here, and if you think you know sports, get paid for it with Better Picks, a daily fantasy app that turns your sports knowledge into real cash. Just download Better, pick more or less on your favorite player stats, and if your pick hits, you win. New users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required, and when you do deposit, you'll get a 50% match up to $200. Play NBA, WNBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, golf, and more. Go to better.app or download Better today and use the promo code VSIN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus. Welcome back to the final segment here on a Wednesday edition of Prop Points on VSiN. I am a little distracted right now because we're going to take a look at the point totals for week 16. I was just curious, maybe the totals changed a little bit in that Miami game, given the news that Tua Tagovailoa has been shown his place on the bench. And of course, I can't find it per usual, but let's move on and start with the number one. Maybe it's been taken down, but Steelers Lions 51.5 is the highest total on the board. And we understand why, although I'm a little, oh, here it is. It is down, Cincinnati, Miami. We'll get to that in a moment. Steelers Lions. See, I'll manually move it down the list here. Even though the line has just changed basically since we've been on the air. Steelers, Lions, highest total on the board, 51.5. I am a little skeptical on Pittsburgh, but I think maybe this is good news for DK. They should have to throw it quite a bit. And I think I love the Lions. I know I love the Lions, and specifically Amon-Ra. And I like the running backs. I don't know about J-Mo, but I do like the running backs quite a bit. Even a little Dave Montgomery. I got to look at a little bit more of the schematics, but we talked about it last week or yesterday. It could be a Dave game here a little bit. And by a Dave game, I'm not saying he's going to outrun Gibbs, but he could, for example, hit his prop, basically, given the solid schematic matchup. The new number two on the board, because it was Cincinnati-Miami at 50.5. But that's been dropped. The new number two is LA Chargers at the Cowboys, which is a little weird because, you know, Justin Herbert and the offense is struggling with all their protection. Dak, George, not the greatest matchup. So not sure about that one, but I guess it bodes well. Certainly bodes well. Maybe the running backs. I kind of felt it would be a Javonte game last week, and it was pretty much. You know, I lost the under on Dak. And I correspondingly kind of liked Javonte, which did happen, but Dak also got it done, but, you know, threw it, what, 39 times. So, yeah, I don't know about that one. Next up is Patriots-Ravens. So, okay, now we're talking. This will be the third highest total on the board, 48.5. Lamar Jackson, they actually looked good last week. They looked like the Ravens last week for the first time in a while. So Lamar Jackson also said this week that he's feeling healthier, so this will be an interesting game. We gave out some good data on Derrick Henry in this matchup, like against those man gap runs. My man is averaging like 7.7 yards a carry over the last 5 weeks, and New England's struggling there. So I think we're going to get a nice game here for fake football at the very least. Next up, we have, well, now we're down to being tied for the fourth highest total on the board. Falcons Cardinals at 47.5. Cincinnati Miami has been bumped down from 50.5. So there you go. Tua Tagovailoa is worth 3 points per the books. From 50.5 now down to 47.5. I don't even know if I like the over there, by the way. Does bode well, I think, for Kirky. I think, you know, Miami's defense has been good, but Kirk Cousins and the Falcons, they have the weaponry and the offense to move the ball, even against a solid defense. Obviously, with Bijan, Pitts is on fire right now, and we're going to get Drake London back. So do like that one there. And, of course, Falcons, Cardinals, also, you got the, you know, Jacoby Brissett element with Marvin Harrison back. Hell, that total may creep upward just a little bit. Next up, we've got the Niners and the Colts, the Monday Night Football affair. Pretty good news for the Colts to be up this high with Phillip Rivers. We certainly saw, you know, some decent things last week, but I think it's more of a function of the Niners. I think the Niners are going to have a good day here. The Colts, they don't rush the passer. That's number one. And, you know, no Sauce Gardner, of course. So I like the Colts against Indy, in Indy. No weather problems there as well. Green Bay, Chicago comes in next at the seventh highest total at 46.5. Not a big day for Caleb in this matchup a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, pretty good matchup for their running game. The Bears run a game, but also the Packers run a game. So, you know, I can see why it's kind of good, but not that great. 46.5. I think this will be a balanced approach. I don't think it's going to be pass happy or run heavy. I think both running games are going to be involved. Bucks Panthers 45.5, big matchup. First time these teams have met. You can understand a little bit. Bucks are on the struggle bus, and Carolina's defense is pretty good. J.C. Horn back and all that. So we shall see about this one, but at least Baker has his full complement of weapons. So I could see this one going over. I do like that point we made about Chris Godwin earlier in the program. Carolina, they are a slot funnel because they have two good outside corners, one of them being J.C. Horn. That definitely bodes really well for Chris Godwin. Jaguars and the Broncos. Little bit of a lower total here. It is a good schematic matchup for Trevor Lawrence, who does well against man coverage. However, not the greatest individual matchup for T-Law, who's feeling it right now. Good for him. Seems like a great guy. Looked like kind of a bust until Liam Cohen came along. I actually liked Lawrence this summer as a late-round pick because of Cohen. I'm like, if anyone can fix him, I think it's a McVay disciple who's got a good running game. But for the Denver Broncos, you know, Jacksonville's run defense has been pretty good. So I think this means let's simmer down a little bit, slow the roll, if you will, on Lawrence in this tougher spot in Denver, even though he is pretty good against man coverage. We have the Eagles Commanders coming in next. Thought this would be a little higher. DC's defense is awful. This should be a really good day for Saquon Barkley. And I do believe it'll be a skinny Batman game, Devontae Smith. So you know what? I think this is going over. This is going over because Mariota actually has a pretty good schematic matchup. Terry McLaurin's a handful. They're scrappy enough to give him a little bit of a game, but Philly's defense or offense could also crush as well. Rams, Seahawks, not great for tomorrow's game. We've got like the fifth lowest total on the board in this rematch. We all know Sam Darnold threw four picks in the game. Stafford didn't go off as well. So let's not expect a bonanza. Now, this one here I disagree with. This is should be higher. Vikings at Giants, 43.5. Maybe they're worried about Jackson Dart and the Giant offense struggling against the Vikings because they've been lights out against the pass. But I am very convinced that the Vikings offense will be more than fine here. The Giants play a lot of man. It's a good schematic matchup for McCarthy. But more importantly, they will run the ball in this one. And then we're good. We run the ball in Minnesota with a diverse attack with Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason, two different types of runners. Then we stay ahead of the down. Then we avoid third and long. And then we're good with J.J. McCarthy, I do believe. Next up, Bills, Browns. Very low total because the Browns, they're kind of dead. Let's be honest here. 42.5 wasn't good for Shedeur Sanders last week. Jets, Saints, we come in here at 40.5. We don't know exactly who the quarterback is going to be, but we know it's not going to be a bonanza here with Tyler Shuck there, who is playing very well. And we got Brady Cook on the other side. Chiefs, Titans, so sad. No Mahomes. We got Gardner Minshew taking on the Titans. It's sad. And then we got the Raiders and the Texans, 37.5. Last thing we need to do is pop out a best bet for tomorrow's game. First, we'll remind you, Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel will come your way at the top of the hour. Kendall Valenzuela shares some prop bets and fantasy football adjustments for this weekend. But I got to get to my best bet, which is for tomorrow's game. I'm going to go over, 8.5 receiving yards for Kyren Williams. On the season, the Seahawks give up the seventh most fantasy points per game to running backs in the passing game only. Over the last 5 weeks, they've given up the 11th most. Week 16 last week, JT got four targets, 3 for 14, but Amir Abdullah got 5 for 32. Week before that, Vikings guys got 4 for 41 on four targets. Oh no, that was the Falcons. Those Viking running backs the week before that got 6 grabs. So we're going to get a couple grabs for Kyren Williams. That is the best bet. We'll catch you mañana for another edition of Prop Points here on VSiN.